Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Own Attic, episode 69. Look, this is how we're going to begin the show today. This is a sports show. We know this is a sports show. But what has happened and what is happening in Minneapolis looms over the two of us, looms over the entire nation. It's unavoidable. And I know, Mike, that you have some thoughts on this.
Tony, I do. Lots of thoughts. I as I was preparing for our show, I just didn't care about the sports stories. Not that they weren't important in the context of what we usually do, as you said. But, Tony, the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the subsequent reactions, you know, some of those reactions have been eloquent. We've heard from people across the sporting community, from LeBron James and Steph Curry to Carson Wentz and J.J. Watt, and people have said in the way they usually say it now, which is through social media, I can't believe this. And we're still watching television, most of us. I certainly am. I watched today as a colleague, a Medill alum, as I am at Northwestern, Omar Jimenez was led away in handcuffs. A CNN journalist stationed where apparently he was supposed to be, led away in handcuffs. And I can't help but think in the context of all of this, Tony, where is he being led to? To a noose? What's happening? Because I'm watching television and it feels like I'm 7 or 8 years old and we're in the mid-60s and I'm preparing to watch Bloody Sunday in the 1960s, the March to Selma on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Are we in the Jim Crow South? Have we returned to that point? And is there a lack of leadership in this country to the extent that we're in this place at this moment? Tony, it's frightening. I mean, I drove here. I'm in Arizona. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm probably a couple of, 1,500 miles away from Minneapolis. I see a police car and I flinch because I don't know what could happen. And anybody says they know what could happen, oh, you're exaggerating. You don't know anything. Because this guy wound up with his head against the concrete saying, I can't breathe, and then died, was murdered. And so that, Tony, like it has with those other gentlemen I mentioned earlier in the sports world, so many of us, as you've said, it's a cloud that hangs over us right now.
Yeah, it's sad and it's tragic and it's unnecessary. I am old enough to have watched 50 and 60 years ago scenes like this, reaction like this, and you think you're past it. I mean, you don't know you're past it. You think you're past it. You hope you're past it. What you hope the country stands for more than anything else is justice for all and not just justice for some. And what you also hope is that the compassion is larger than the outrage. You know, but I don't have anything brilliant to say about this. It makes me sad, and I certainly understand how it takes away from any discussion of sports at the moment. I do.
Yeah, it does, Tony. I know we'll all get back to that because it's been topical and has been something that, COVID-19 is not the only virus that is ripping apart this country right now as we see this other sickness that we didn't think we'd have to deal with. And then we go back. We deal with the things at hand in our lives. And then we turn on and we watch in a frightened way. It's frightening. What's next? Water hoses and dogs being turned on people? What's next? And then we go back and we try to figure out what in our lives is a little more normal. And so, sadly, normal now has still been trying to figure out when we're going to get sports and what that's going to be, even from some of the people who have reacted again, so eloquently to what we've seen. And there's no easy transition, Tony. So I'll just try to jump into baseball and a story that is ongoing with baseball right now, which is certainly not a happy one. Jeff Passan reports that hundreds of minor league baseball players were cut Thursday, minor league players, and hundreds more are expected to lose their jobs in the near future as the sport deals with the fallout of the corona pandemic. This comes amid a period of widespread uncertainty about the future of a number of minor league franchises. Tony, minor league baseball, what's your feeling about what's happening to it right now?
Yeah, this makes me sad. Where I went to school in Binghamton, We had a minor league team when I was in school, the Binghamton Triplets. They still have a team there, the Rumble Ponies. I mean, I just think that the romance of sports in America has a lot to do with small towns and minor league baseball. And I've seen Bull Durham 1,000 times, and it always sort of reinforces that for me. If teams, there have been some teams that have stepped up, major league teams that have stepped up, and they've guaranteed the salaries for their minor league players, you know, for this month or next month, or maybe even through August when the season would probably end. Some of them are actually the poorer teams, like the Marlins and the Padres and the Mariners, the Twins, the Royals, which is odd to me. It doesn't cost that much money. Look, it's not my money, it's not your money. You know, but you could support all your minor league players for between $1 and $2 million a year. So you could do that. The larger issue here is that baseball is moving away from its minor league teams and cutting down on its draft. And you know, you have a situation like this. We all feel bad for minor leaguers losing their jobs. But tens of millions, if not 100 million Americans, you know, are faced with unemployment right now because of this pandemic.
Yeah, Tony, it's amazing, though, that professional baseball players, given the minor league structure that has existed for these decades, would be facing unemployment themselves. You know, we don't think of sports necessarily in that context. And while I grew up with major league teams, I worked and have, you know, the beginning of my sports career involved going to some minor league games. Tony, last year, I think the attendance was something more than 40 million people. This is not incidental. You know, everybody doesn't grow up with the Yanks and the Sox and the Cubs and, you know, the Dodgers. And so people grow up with this as part. It's so much a part of America in certain communities, a lot of communities, more communities than have professional. I mean, Major League Baseball. So, sad, yeah, indeed.
See, this is not, baseball is dependent on a minor league system, a feeder system. College football supplies the NFL. College basketball supplies the NBA. Hockey has juniors, but it's not as extensive as baseball, where you can have an entire career in the minor leagues in baseball. I mean, for me, this is the fabric of baseball, and if it's going to be torn apart, yeah, that makes me sad. I hope it doesn't happen, but baseball seems to be moving that way. By the way, big ups. Yeah. David Price taking money out of his own pocket, you know, to support minor leaguers through June.
Very impressive.
In the Dodgers organization.
Yeah.
An organization he's never even pitched for. He never pitched for him. He just got there. Very impressive, David Price. I wonder if other guys will step up. Let's move to something that I think is going to be a lot more fun. It certainly will be for me. It's your boy Jim Harbaugh at the University of Michigan. He's been the coach at Michigan now for 5 years, and we both agree he's great for college football. He was asked by the website 24/7 how close Michigan has come to winning the national championship in his tenure. And Harbaugh said, and this is a direct quote, about as close as you can possibly be, unquote. What? Is that how you see it?
No, of course not. Of course not. I mean, I don't know whether I should use the word revisionist when it comes to what Jim Harbaugh said, or just delusional. And Tony, there was one shot at this. I think it was 2016 when he had the bad fourth down call. I thought it was a bad call against Ohio State, and Ohio State wound up making the playoffs. And maybe, you know, Michigan could have been in their place, maybe. So I'll give him that one. 2016, what happened in 17, 18, 19? We know they're not really happy in Michigan as they perhaps embark upon another season. We don't even know if Jim Harbaugh and his team are going to get that chance this year. But Tony, no, it's nowhere. What is he talking about? What did he think that, I don't know, he was, there were like all those teams that were between him and the top weren't really there?
So let's go to the quote again, about as close as you can possibly be. Let me tell you who came as close, about as close as you can possibly be. That would be Georgia, that went to overtime in the final game and lost to Tua. That would be Alabama, which almost won a game, lost in the last second to Clemson. Here's Harbaugh. What are you talking about? You haven't gotten to the playoffs. I mean, you mentioned that game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, Ohio State went out and got beat in the national semifinal by Clemson 31-0. So how good was Michigan? Let's review Harbaugh for a second. He has never won the Big Ten. He has never had fewer than three losses in a season. He's never finished higher than 10th in the final poll, and he's never beaten Ohio State.
Well, there you have it. Never beaten Ohio State. You can't even win.
So what
you can't
are we
be
talking?
The best in your conference. I just delusional. I've upgraded.
I mean, it's his definition of close. Like, maybe he thinks the state of Michigan is close to the state of Maryland because they're in the same conference, but they're not close. They're hundreds of miles away. No. So
they're not close to that. I want to hear some more of the reaction coming out of, you know, Wolverine land on that one. On a recent episode, Tony, and here we go back to a familiar area of All the Smoke podcast. Former Wizard and Piston, Rip Hamilton, says Michael Jordan, while president of the Wizards in 2001, that was the year before he played those two seasons, traded away LaRon Prophet because Prophet had talked trash to MJ in a pickup game. Prophet reportedly said to Michael, quote, "You can't guard me with those old ass knees," close quote. And Rip says Jordan told him in an exit interview that Prophet would be sent packing. And then he was traded for Brendan Haywood. Tone, sound like Jordan to you?
First of all, let's go back over that quote. "You can't guard me with your old ass knees." Okay, that is a great quote. This happened, by the way, in a pickup game when Jordan was not an active player. He was the team president in a pickup game. Okay. Does it sound like Jordan to me? Oh, I don't know. Petty and fueled by rage? Yes, of course it sounds like Jordan to me. Not only that, but when Jordan came back, he traded away Hamilton, who's the source of this story, and everybody in Washington, except maybe you, and I'll grant, except maybe you, thought that he did that because he thought Hamilton was going to take shots away from him, and he brought in Jerry Stackhouse, who wouldn't take as many shots. So, yes, it sounds like Michael Jordan, and to me, it adds to the luster of Michael Jordan that he would actually do this.
All right, I'm gonna get into some facts here. By the way, I covered LaRon Prophet at Maryland. I like LaRon Prophet a lot. I know this. He's not a kid anymore. I knew him when he's a kid. Tony, would you not have traded LaRon Prophet for Brendan Haywood, who was a starting center in the NBA for the Bullets and Wizards and beyond? Was that not a good trade?
Let me just say this. Haywood played 13 seasons in the league. LaRon Prophet played 4. So, yes, that was a good trade. That doesn't change the motivation, but that was a good trade.
Well, taking shots away, I mean, let's get serious. The other thing is, Rip Hamilton, and you follow me here, because, you know, I wrote this at the time in the Washington Post, and I knew this in real time, okay? So I don't care what others knew. Rip Hamilton going away from the Wizards and Jerry Stackhouse coming back, which was supposed to be a very, 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 very short-term solution so that Michael Jordan could acquire whom? Kobe Bryant. I know you knew this because you knew it from me in real time covering what was going on in Washington. So would you not, if you were going to attempt to make room to get Kobe Bryant, who, remember, was unhappy in L.A. with Shaq and all that, said he was going to go to Chicago to replace whom? Michael Jordan. Wizards, yes. Would you not have tried that by opening up cap room by moving Rip Hamilton if you needed to?
Yes. And the follow-up question is, did they get Kobe Bryant?
Didn't get him, obviously.
No.
Would you not?
Nope.
Would you go back and say, don't try that? Don't try it. Don't move Rip Hamilton.
You've got to try it, but the larger issue here is the mythology of Michael Jordan. And this fits right in to the mythology of Michael Jordan. Wait, you said that to me? Boom, get out of here. How far can I send you? How far?
I know how much you love vengeance, you know? Maybe the name of this show, if
and
you wanted to name it, would be The Big Payback.
Served cold.
Yeah you'd steal it from James Brown, The Big Payback.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Here are the props, glasses, legal pad, and we go to the happies. Happy 22nd birthday, Markelle Fultz. Fultz was a sinkhole as the overall number one pick by the 76ers three seasons ago, but is now salvaging his career in Orlando. Fultz appeared to have completely forgotten how to shoot in Philadelphia. The assumption was he had the yips and became a basket case. In two seasons there, Fultz rarely started, averaged just 7.7 points and 3.4 assists. Shot 41% from the field, 26.7 from three, and only 53% from the line. These are terrible numbers. But after being traded out of supercritical Philadelphia to super welcoming Orlando, Fultz made a significant improvement in his mid-range shooting and was more comfortable driving to the basket and dishing the ball off to teammates. He started 59 of 64 games, improved his scoring average to 12.1, his assists to 5.2, his overall shooting percentage rose to 47.3, and his free throw shooting rose to 72.3. Now, he's not great, but he's no longer a bust. Philadelphia gets credit for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, but Fultz and Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, Mike, they all bomb there.
Well, Tony, I'm going to concentrate on the positive of this kid. I mean, first of all, he played basketball in a place you and I have lived for a long time, and I root for him. It must have taken a whole lot of work. Work and commitment on the part of Fultz to get, listen, a whole lot of people in the NBA don't shoot 47% and a whole lot don't shoot 72% from the line. So good for him. I mean, it looks like, Tony, the trajectory of his career has changed, and I have nothing but applause for Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, we join in that. We join in that because he's local for us from D.C. Happy anniversary, Lenny Randle. Whoa, it's Lenny Randle week on PTI. I know the other day I said the highlight of Randle's career came 39 years ago when he was playing for the Marlins, or Mariners rather, and he blew a ball foul across the third base line. But this action is tremendous. On this day, 46 years ago, while playing for the Texas Rangers, Randle took revenge on Indians pitcher Milt Wilcox, who had just thrown behind him. Randle then deftly laid down a bunt on the first base side, knowing that Wilcox would come over to field it. As Wilcox did just that, Randle plowed over him, sparking a bench-clearing brawl. Props to Randle for a creative and well-executed revenge strategy. And though Randle claimed he didn't actually attempt to blow that ball foul, which of course he did, at least he didn't say that he didn't deliberately smash into Wilcox and that his feet simply got tangled up, causing him to fall into the pitcher.
That was genius. For dopes who say, oh, you know, baseballs are coming in a way the players can't direct where they're going to shut up. He put the ball, I know he'd like to have put it 4 feet closer to the line, but it was great, Tony, the way he went out. That is old school, hard-nosed baseball. That is, we didn't see anything like that anymore. I could do it maybe without the brawl, but what the heck.
It's old school because it happened 46 years ago. That's why it's old school. Happy trails, JT Daniels. The former National High School Player of the Year is leaving USC for Georgia. Daniels, who started 12 games at quarterback for the Trojans over two seasons, lost his job to Keydon Slovis after suffering a torn ACL in last season's opener. Daniels was underwhelming at USC, going 5-7, throwing 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. At Georgia, Daniels will either sit out this season or likely back up grad transfer Jamie Newman, who came over from Wake Forest. In college now, quarterbacks transfer all the time. It's like a carousel ride. When Georgia stuck with Jake Fromm, Justin Fields left, transferred to Ohio State. Now, Daniels has 3 years of eligibility left, but the collateral damage is his tattoo. Daniels was so psyched to play for USC, he got a huge tattoo of the LA Coliseum and the Trojan helmet on his right calf. Now he'll probably have to cover that up with the famous hedges of Sanford Stadium. The good news for Daniels is the governor of Georgia recently allowed tattoo parlors to open all over the state.
Yeah, can they? How about tattoo removal? Tony, the only person not in the transfer portal and apparently headed to Georgia is Tom Brady. Because everybody else that plays that position seems to be in the transfer portal and seems to want to play between the hedges.